This week I wanted to conclude the introduction to the Haftorahs and begin discussing the particular Haftorah for this coming Shabbos. We left off last time with the discussion of two different types of authority that Moshe Rabbeinu assumed in Chumash. We began with the theory that you have a contradiction in the very parshios of Chumash themselves, and it's found apparently in the Gemara as well as in the language of the Rambam, that when you look throughout the Chumash, there seems to be a contradiction between what you find in Parshas Yisro as opposed to what you find in Parshas Bahalosa. In Parshas Yisro, it would appear that Moshe Rabbeinu always acts independent of anyone else, by himself, as a representative of the Sanhedrin. That's what the Torah tells us, that whenever you have certain cases, they are to be tried by lower courts. Whenever you have a Dabar HaGadol, then you have Yirei Lecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, those matters you bring to me, and I will judge them individually, independent of anyone else. And this is what you commonly find, as we pointed out, in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin Daf Beis, and the Gemara that you have in Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph and Daf Tezayin Amar Beis, that the Gemara uses the Lashon of Moshe B'makom Shivim Ve'achakoy, that Moshe Rabbeinu by himself had the status of the Sanhedrin. So, for example, anything that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu did, that means that in future generations that can only be done by his Sanhedrin. This is what the Mishnah tells us in Daf Beis in Sanhedrin, that, for example, when it comes to judging a Kohen Gadol, that is something that has to be done by the Sanhedrin HaGadolah. And how do you know that that's true? Because the Gemara tells us that this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu had to do himself, called Davar HaGadol Yaviu Eilecha, meaning Dvarav Shel Gadol. So if Moshe Rabbeinu judged those cases by himself, so therefore that means that you need the Sanhedrin HaGadolah. The same thing that the Gemara tells us later in Daf Tezayin, that the Mishnah tells us that Ein Osin Sanhedros L'Shvatim, that we know the Torah tells us that the Sanhedrin Gadolah is one of a kind who meets in Lishkas HaGozis. However, there are lower courts that you have, a Sanhedrin Ketana, a Bezdin of 23, that meets in various cities. Who appoints the lower courts of 23? So the Mishnah tells us that that can only be done by the Sanhedrin HaGdolah. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that's true? The Gemara comments, Kedashkechan b'Moshe de'uki Sanhedros. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who appointed the lower courts, and Moshe Rabbeinu was b'makom shivim ve'echad kohen. That Moshe Rabbeinu himself embodied the Sanhedrin. What's difficult about this? The very next piece that you find at the conclusion of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Daf Beis, we know that the Sanhedrin Gedolah consisted of 71 Dayamim. So the Mishnah asks, that how do you know that's true? Minayim legedola shehisho shim v'yachad. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Esfel li shiv mish mizikna Yisrael v'moshe al gabayin, that Moshe was instructed to gather together their 70 chachamim, and the 70 chachamim in addition to Moshe, that's 71. And that's how we know that you need a bezdin of shim v'yachad. So it seems to be a contradiction, that on the one hand the Mishnah always tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu independently acted as the Sanhedrin, and here the Mishnah tells us that the number of 71 is derived from the fact that you have a group of Chachamim, and Moshe who worked together with them was a total of 71. And again, this is not a contradiction simply in Mishnah and Gemara, but it's a problem with the Parshios and Chumash. Then in Parshas Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu always acts alone. In Parshas Bahalos, Chavetz, Esvel, Shivim Ish, that always work together with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Soloveitchik pointed out, to resolve this apparent contradiction, this is what we spent time on last week, that it is true of Edim, and it's true of a Bezdin of three, and it is true of the Sanhedrin as well, that there is a dual authority that they have. Certain cases that you bring before a Bezdin, or certain cases that Edim testify, is called Edus Lebir Hadava, or a Bezdin Lebir Hadava. The purpose of the Edim coming to court is in order to verify, to ascertain certain facts. Normal cases, if I go ahead and lend you money, so you owe me money even if no witnesses are present whatsoever. Why do I have to have witnesses that are there? It's simply advantageous to me. It will be very difficult for me to go ahead and prove my claim in court if I don't have witnesses that are there. The witnesses are not for the purpose of making or breaking the obligation, but rather it's purely for the purpose of verification. There are some times when we know that's not true. This is what we discussed, the case that Rav Chaim discusses at length, which is called Edus L'Kiyum HaDavar. Sometimes two Edim have to be present. Why? because the whole establishment of that chalos, of that institution, is dependent upon Edim. If you get married and no Edim are present, even if the chassan agrees that he married the kohen, vice versa, the kedushin is not binding because you require edus l'kiyum hadavar. If a get is not witnessed by Edim, Edim Sirakarti, Edim Chasimakarti, the get is invalid. Certain institutions require edus not to verify facts, but simply to establish the fact, to establish the case. This is also true of a bezdin. Sometimes the purpose of a bezdin, in a normal case of dinim amanos, is to sort out the facts. Does Reuven owe Shimon money, or is that not true? But sometimes bezdin acts in that second capacity, and that's a bezdin l'kiyum hadavar. For example, to do a chalitza, you need a bezdin of three. There it's not a bezdin of psak halacha, it's not a bezdin of horah. The purpose of a bezdin is l'kiyum hadavar. They have to establish a certain procedure, authorize the process of the Torah that requires a bezin of three. If you do chalitza without a bezin, the chalitza is invalid. Not because there's any machlokis in psak halacha. Or the same thing that the Mishnah tells us, smicha sakenim. When you bring certain karbanos, a parhal and davar shel tzibur, it is necessary that the smicha be done involving a bezin. Laying your hands on the karban is not something kosher pshat that involves a psak halacha. Tosfos discusses this toward the end of Yivamos. But why do you need a bezin which is present? To authorize the procedure. Now the same is true when it comes to a Sanhedrin. Certain decisions are certain so crucial that they can't be made simply by any bezdin, but they require the direct attention of the Sanhedrin. That's called a psak halacha, that is called a horah, which is given to the Sanhedrin. But there are certain cases which the Sanhedrin must do which are not for the purpose of rendering any psak halacha whatsoever, but merely for authorizing a certain process. For example, Minui Melech, right? One of the jobs of the Sanhedrin is to appoint the king. That's not an issue of Horah. That's not a Psak Din. That's not Chayir V'Potter. But yet, in order to appoint a Melech, you need the formal authorization of the Sanhedrin. Or the Mishnah tells us, Ein Mosifin Al Ha'ir V'Al Ha'azara. If you want to go ahead and enlarge the boundaries of Yerushalayim, it requires the approval, the authorization of the Sanhedrin. That is not a Psak Halacha. They're not rendering a decision chayiv or patur. It means in order to endow that land with the kedusha of mikdash, that procedure requires, among other things, the participation of the Sanhedrin. So this was the chiddush of Soloveitchik articulated, that when you're dealing with the bezdin who is functioning in purposes of psak halacha and horah, then it is certainly true that Moshe Rabbeinu acts independently. There you can't envision a case where an issue would be brought before Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu would say the halacha is chayiv, and the chacham would disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what chol comes to pakala when it comes to horah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the final authority, the machriah ha'achron, and no one can be cholak on Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Parshas Yisro. The kol davar ha'gogo, whenever you have certain areas of psak halacha that require that type of attention, that is rendered by Moshe Rabbeinu individually, exclusively, without any need for Sanhedrin. When you're dealing, however, with the second halacha of a maisa bezdin l'kiyum hadavar, it's not a psak halacha. The Torah says that you need two witnesses. As great as Moshe Rabbeinu was, he is not two witnesses. He's a single aid. If you need a bezdin of three l'kiyum hadavar, Moshe Rabbeinu is only one person. If you need a Sanhedrin l'kiyum hadavar to appoint a melech, or to enlarge boundaries of Yerushalayim, that Moshe Rabbeinu is only one individual who could only work together with the rest of the Sanhedrin. So these are the two halachos that you find. So Soloveitchik pointed out that we started to see last time that this is very precise in the language of the Rambam, because sometimes the Rambam says that Moshe tikkun l'Yisrael, and otherwise the Rambam uses the terms Moshe u'beis dino. Why does the Rambam say sometimes Moshe alone and sometimes Moshe beis dino? You wouldn't have even noticed this if not for this formulation, this kiddush. So if you look in the Rambam, it's very meduyuk. Whenever the Rambam speaks about a psak halacha or a takana, the Rambam always writes Moshe tikkun l'Hem Yisrael. That's what the Rambam writes about Avelus of Shiva in the very beginning of Hilchos Avvel. This is what the Rambam writes in Perikid Beis of Hilchos Tefillah when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. This is what the Rambam writes in Perikid Gimel of Hilchos Tefillah when it comes to the halacha of Shol in the Dorshin Vieno Shoyom, that on Yantid you have to deal with the halachas of the day. Psak halacha, the Rambam always writes Moshe was able to institute by himself. However, when it comes to those halachas that the Rambam speaks about Maisa Bezdin, where a bezin is necessary, l'kim hadavar, then the Rambam always writes Moshe together with his bezin. Who was the one who appointed Yoshua as a melech? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, it was Moshe Rabbeinu together with Ubeis Dino. Why? Because appointing an individual as a melech is not a sakalacha. That is a maisa bezdin, l'kim hadavar, and that requires the accompaniment of the Sanhedrin. And the Rambam writes the same thing in Perek Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that Moshe Rabbeinu was only one when it comes to endowing Kedusha and Mikdash, and he is not considered to be the Sanhedrin independently. Now, why is this so relevant when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftorah? Because one of the cases that you find that the Rambam writes is the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma Daf Pei Beis that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who instituted Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and on Monday and Thursday. And the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tefillah that this is an example of the Takana of Moshe, that Moshe teach in the Hemli Yisrael. What is the problem with this? We left off last time mentioning that this is against the Gemara. It fits in beautifully with our scheme that such an institution of Kriyas HaTorah is not a Maisa Bezdin. That's not a formal act that requires authorization of Bezdin. That's a Takana that Moshe Rabbeinu can institute independently. So therefore the Rambam writes Moshe teach in the Hemli Yisrael. The problem is it's against the Gemara. Because when the Gemara discusses the Takana of Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara says that that was not something that Moshe Rabbeinu did independently, but rather the Gemara tells us that Amdu Nevi'im Shebeneihem V'tiknu. This was a Takana of Moshe together with the others who were present, together with Aaron, Miriam, and perhaps others. This is not something that Moshe Rabbeinu did alone. So that's the problem. How can the Rambam write it's a Takana of Moshe independently, where the Gemara says that Moshe did it together with others? And if in fact the whole lumdus is true, that when it comes to a takana, Moshe can act independently, so then why does the Gemara tell us that Moshe didn't when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah? So the Chiddush of Soloveitchik pointed out was the following, that when was this halacha of Kriyas HaTorah instituted? The Gemara tells us that this happened before Kabbalah HaTorah. The Gemara says, Vayochu Shlosh Yosim B'Midbar V'Lamotza Mayim, that Bnei Yisrael are traveling in the Midbar before Har Sinai, and simply they couldn't exist, they didn't have water, the Gemara tells us, saying Mayim Ela Torah. So therefore, it was necessary to institute some type of Kriyas HaTorah. Otherwise, the Gemara tells us, Miyad Nilu, Bnei Yisrael would have withered. So, Amdu Nevi'im Shebeneihem V'tiknu. So therefore, it's very meduyak. It's true, this is a Takana. But when did this occur? This occurred in Parshas B'Shalach before Kabbalah HaTorah. So then it fits in beautifully. Then when is it that Moshe Rabbeinu attained his status as being the Adon HaNavim, that the Chol Beisi Nemon Hu, that when it comes to Psach Halacha, no one can disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu? That is something that Poshub Shah happened at Kabbalah HaTorah, at Mamad Har Sinai. But whatever was instituted beforehand, there Moshe had to do so with the accompaniment of others. He couldn't act alone. So when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah that was instituted before Har Sinai, so that's why the Gemara says that Amdu Nevi'im Shebeneihem V'tiknu, that this was a Takana of Moshe together with others. Well, if that's the case, then why does the Rambam write Moshe Rabbeinu instituted alone and not together with others? Because this is the Rambam Lashitase that we again alluded to last time. The Rambam writes in several places in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avel, and the Rambam writes this at length in the Pirush Mishnayos in Chulin and Daf Kuf, that any mitzvah that we fulfill today is not because of its performance before Har Sinai, but rather because of the fact that it was given to us at Har Sinai. And the Rambam implies that this is also true when it comes to Takanas Rabbanon, that the reason we fulfill Takanas Rabbanon is not because they were instituted before Har Sinai, but because they were reinstituted when the Torah was given. This is the phrase the Gemara has, that Nitna Torah, Nischanshu Halacha. You can't look to the way the Torah was fulfilled before Har Sinai in order to determine our performance. This is what the Yerushalmi writes, that the Chila Medin Mikoda Matan Torah. You have no right to bring any proof from the time before the Torah was given. So therefore, the reason that we lay in the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday is not because this was a practice of Bnei Yisrael before Har Sinai, but rather because after Matan Torah it was reinstituted. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. Every mitzvah, even mitzvahs derabanan, had to be reinstituted l'achar matan Torah. Well, when it was reinstituted l'achar matan Torah, then there was no longer any need for Moshe Rabbeinu to act together with other Nevi'im. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu already had the status of the Chol Yisim Emanu. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted it independently. And that's why, yes, the Gemara says that Amdu Nevi'im Sheinam Tiknu, but the Rambam writes that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted by himself. Now, the question that requires elucidation is the following. What type of halakha is this, that there was an obligation of Kriyas HaTorah in the Midbar before the Torah was given? Why should that be necessary? We're used to assuming that what is the key of Kriyas HaTorah? It's Talmud Torah B'tzibur. But yet you see that that cannot be the exclusive key of Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Because the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah predated any mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah was given to us at Har Sinai, and yet the Gemara tells us that even before Har Sinai, there was already Amdu Nevi'im Shebnei'im V'tiknu, that there was an obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. What did they mean if they didn't have Chumash? Well, the answer is Rashi already points out that in Mara, certain partials were given to Bnei Yisrael, Shabbos and Torah and other partials, and therefore they had something which with they could involve themselves. Rashi writes they had certain partials Sheyis Askubo, in order to involve themselves in even before the Torah was given. This was the mitzvah that they had of Kriyas HaTorah. So it is clear that Kriyas HaTorah, yes, certainly has an element of Talmud Torah, no doubt, but yet that is not the exclusive element of Talmud Torah. There is more to it than that. What then is its purpose? So Soloveitchik pointed out very simply that, you know what? Just look at the language of the Gemara. When the Gemara tells us that there is a need to have Kriyas HaTorah when Bnei Yisrael was in the Midbar, what was the reason? The Gemara doesn't say because there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Gemara says because Vayelchu Shlosh Hashim in Midbar v'lamatzah Mayim, that Bnei Yisrael simply could not exist without it. Language of the Gemara is Miyad Nilu, that Bnei Yisrael withered if they didn't have Torah. That's the mashal that Ein Mayim Ela Torah. The Torah is not considered to be a luxury that you can do without. The Torah is considered to be so vital to your existence that you can't exist without it. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. If Torah is crucial for our existence, well then it's necessary irrespective of whether there is or is not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And even before the mitzvah of Talmud Torah was given, there already was the need for Bnei Yisrael to have a Kriyas HaTorah even when they were in the Midbar. That's what the Gemara says, that Miyad Nilu. It wasn't a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. It wasn't a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So what was it? So Soloveitchik pointed out that the mitzvah was Shmias Dvar Hashem. It was simply to hear the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create that Keshem. This is what the Rambam discusses at length in his Hakdamah to Chumash. The Torah is not simply a mitzvah, but rather Torah is the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Gemara says that how do you know before you learn? You have to make a bracha daraisa, birchas haTorah. What pasuk does the Gemara quote? Kishem Hashem Ekra. When you call out the Shem Hashem. So the obvious question is what does that pasuk of Shem Hashem have anything to do with Talmud Torah? The answer is Talmud Torah, aside from being a mitzvah, that is our direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Shem Hashem Ekra. That's the known line that the Ramban has in the very beginning of his Pirshan Chumash, that we have the Ramban writes a Kabbalah Shel Emes Shekola Karakula Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah equals Shem Hashem. When a person goes out and engages in Torah, forget about the fact that technically you're doing a mitzvah, but you are going ahead and you are establishing that direct kesher that you have to Shem Hashem Ekra. That's Rav Soloveitchik often pointed out that the Gemara uses the halacha of Kishem Hashem Ekra for two different halachos. One halacha is you have to make a bracha before you engage in Torah. And what's the other halacha? The avod of Yom Kippur. That when the Kohen Gadol would say the Shem Am Porash, Kishem Hashem Ekra, you have to go ahead and make a type of bracha. You have to say Baruch Shem Kavod. So aren't these two completely different halachos, Birkas HaTorah and the avod of Yom Kippurim? So Soloveitchik commented, no, it's mamish the same drasha. Shem Hashem requires Shevet Vahodah. What's the most obvious example of Shem Hashem? When you say the Shem Am Porash, when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur says the Shem Hashem, you have to respond by saying Baruch Shem Kavod. But more subtly, what is Kishem Hashem? That is Torah. Torah is called Shmoser Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the chumer that the Ramban has, that every letter of the Torah corresponds to a word in the Shem Hashem. And the Ramban writes of the Fichach, Sefer Torah, Shechiser Yesrocha Osachas Tzula. That's why if the Sefer Torah is missing a single letter, the Sefer Torah is invalid, because you've broken that kesher with the Dvar Hashem. That's the chiddush that you have. If that's the case, that there's so much more to Kriyas HaTorah than just a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but rather that this is an opportunity of, again, making that hiskashrus to Dvar Hashem, making that connection. Well, then you understand very well why this applied even before Mamad Har Sinai. This is what the Gemara means, that Miyad Nilu. B'nai Yisrael couldn't survive without it, and therefore this is what was necessary. Then Rav Soloveitchik went to step forward. This is true before the Torah was given. What about after the Torah was given? We have a formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Chiddush was the following, that then it's true that part of the Machayiv of Kriyas HaTorah, the reason that we lain, is for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But that's not exclusively the reason. That element that existed, which was the sole determining factor of Kabbalah HaTorah, of Kriyas HaTorah before Kabbalah HaTorah, that even exists today. That there is this notion of Kriyas HaTorah as being an attempt to, again, reaffirm that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Rambam doesn't use the term of Kriyas HaTorah, but the Rambam writes that you can't go 3 days b'li Shmiyas Divrei Torah, without hearing the words of Torah. Kriya always is reminiscent of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Rambam writes Shmiyas Dvar Hashem because that is the obligation. Where do you see that this is true? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out when it comes to Hakel, for example, that the Torah tells us, this is what the Gemara quotes in the very beginning of Chagiga, that it is necessary when it comes to Hakel that everyone come and witness the whole ceremony of the Hakel. Anashim Nashim V'tach. Why do Anashim come? So the Gemara says Lilmo. However, why is it that Nashim come? So that's what the Gemara comments in Chagiga Nav Gimel, Lishmoa Laman Yishmaun. In order to hear, what does hearing mean? That there is much more to Hakel than simply the technical mitzvah of Talmud Torah, reading a parsha of the Torah. And even those who couldn't appreciate that element, women or the Taf, were still obligated to come because of this second element that Talmud Torah has, this Hiskashrus, the Dvar Hashem. This is what Tosus comments about Birchas HaTorah. Tosus writes in Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis that the reason that you recite the Birchas HaTorah once in the morning and no longer recite it later in the day, even if you're not actively learning, because if Torah has that second element as well, not only technically Talmud Torah, but the relationship, the kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on, that Tosus writes, Olam Eino Miyash Gaito Heimenu. You never have a hefsek from that relationship, even if a person is not actively engaging in learning. There is much more to the obligation of Talmud Torah than simply, right, the notion of sitting and engaging in Limon HaTorah. And these are the two halachos that you find when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. So therefore, what was the mitzvah that you had of Kriyas HaTorah before Har Sinai? There wasn't a Sefer Torah. There wasn't a Hefzer Shel Torah, something which was endowed with a particular Kedusha. What status did the Torah have? It had the status of being Dvar Hashem. It didn't have the full status of a Hefzer Shel Torah. That was only after Kabbalah HaTorah. But it was Dvar Hashem. And therefore the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah before Mamad Har Sinai, as well as one element afterwards, is that simply Shmiyas Dvar Hashem. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that this in mind, you understand very well what the Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says that the minyan shlosha that we have, that how many psukim do you minimally have to read for every aliyah? At least 3 psukim. And what is the minimum amount of individuals who have to be Ole Torah? The minimum is 3. Where do you derive this number 3? Both in terms of the Kriyas HaPsukim, as well as in terms of the number of Olim that you have. So the Gemara quotes 2 different sources for this number of 3. That one is Keneged Kohen Levi v'Yisrael, and the second is Keneged Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. That's where the requirement comes from, 3 Psukim, and that you have to have 3 Olim. So what exactly is the connection between Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, or Kohen Levi v'Yisrael, and the amount of Aliyahs that you have to have? So this is again what Rav Soloveitchik impressed upon us, that the purpose of the mitzvah was Shmiyas Dvar Hashem, as you find in Hakel. And therefore, what is this? First, it's Dvar Hashem. What is Dvar Hashem? Dvar Hashem is not limited to only Hefzer Shel Torah. Dvar Hashem applies to Torah, and to Nevi'im, and to Ksuvim as well. Now, this is what the Rambam writes in many contexts. The Rambam writes, for example, in Perek Vav Halacha Ches, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. that the Torah commands us to destroy, under certain conditions, objects of Avodah Zarah. But the Torah writes also, Sasum Kein Lashem Elokecha. You're not allowed to go ahead and destroy Kisvi HaKodesh. If a person goes ahead and will burn, destroy Rachmanu Leslan Sefer Torah, he violates Nisa Daraisa. When the Rambam quotes this Isur Daraisa, right, of destroying Kisvi HaKodesh, the Rambam writes it doesn't only apply to Chumash, it applies to even Nevi'im Uksuvim. Why? Because even though Nevi'im and Ksuvim don't have the label of Chetz Shel Torah, it is not comparable in every respect to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but it does have the status of Kisvei HaKodesh, of Dvar Hashem Bichsav. And therefore the Isur Daraisa of Lo Sasum Ken Hashem Lokecha applies to burning that which was only written and endowed by Divrei Nevi'im. It's a very interesting halacha. The Rambam writes the same thing in Perek Gimel Yeshma, that even Nevi'im and Ksuvim Midaraisa is endowed with the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh, the Kedusha of being Dvar Hashem. And the Ravid makes this comment in Perek Yudbeis of Hilchos Shavuos also, that there is an equation between a person who is Nishba B'Sefer Torah to a person who is Nishba B'Kisvei HaKodesh. Because Kisvei HaKodesh, even though it's not Chumash, Midaraisa has the status of Dvar Hashem Bichsav. So if the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is to Shmias Dvar Hashem, well then you understand that yes, that embodies not only Kriyas HaTorah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but that embodies Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim. What is the raya that that's true? That you can fulfill that this mitzvah of Shmias Dvar Hashem even by reading Divrei Nevi'im? What was the raya? Because this was the very takan of Kriyas HaTorah. When Bnei Yisrael was in the Midbar, they were obligated to read the Dvar Hashem, even though that did not yet have the Kedusha of Sefer Torah. The Torah wasn't even given yet. So what was the purpose of the Nitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? It was simply Shmias Dvar Hashem. And you don't need that which is endowed with Kedushas Chamisha Chumshei Torah, no? Because Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, they didn't yet have the Torah, and they didn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and they were not yet given Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but still there was a mitzvah of the Shmias Dvar Hashem. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. The Gemara is emphasizing that the three aliyos, the three psukim, correspond to the three chelkei Torah shebichsav, Dvar Hashem, even that which is not endowed with a kedusha of Sefer Torah. And similarly, that just like this mitzvah as in the Midbar, was something that was done communally and collectively. How you date Kol Yisrael? As the Gemara tells us when it comes to Hakel was true. So therefore that also plays a role. That all of Bnei Yisrael, right, reading and listening to the Dvar Hashem, that is the key that you have of the Kriyas HaTorah. Even after the Torah was given to us, and now we have a formal mitzvah of Talmud Torah, like that Shmias Dvar Hashem is still intact. Only one element of Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah. Rav Soloveitchik would always quote the following raya, the Flash Shabbos, for example. When it comes to Talmud Torah, you always read something as psukim, right? You always read psukim in the Torah. When we read last Shabbos, Aseres HaDibros, we didn't use the Tam Tachton, read it as psukim. How did we read it? As Aseres HaDibros. Why? Because that's how Bnei Yisrael heard it mipi HaGvura. That's what the Medrash writes, no? So therefore, if part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Kriyas HaTorah, is not only Talmud Torah, but Shmias Dvar Hashem, we specifically read it in the manner in which we, Bnei Yisrael, heard the Dvar Hashem, which were as Aseres HaDibros, not as Sukkim. That's why we use the Tam Tachton. If all it would be was a Kim of Talmud Torah, right? Tam Elyon, right? If all it would be is the Kim of Talmud Torah, so you'd read it as you'd read it when you study the Chumash, as Sukkim. Or there is a view of the Baal HaManig. The Baal HaManig writes, Baalei Kri enjoy the Shita, that if the Baal Kri makes a mistake, you're never allowed to correct it. You're not allowed to unnecessarily embarrass the Baal Kri. It's usur. That's what the Sefer HaManig writes. Unless he makes a mistake that is mamish blasphemous. He says, Rachman al-Islan Hashem Acher, instead of Hashem Echad, you have to protest. Because if you don't protest, it looks like you agree to that statement. But short of a mistake of that nature, you're not allowed to correct the Baal Kri. Why? Because if the purpose is Talmud Torah, well then yeah, you fulfill Talmud Torah. You have to go ahead and correct the Baal Kri even for diktagosios. So Soloveitchik said to Shem Reb Chaim that diktagosios means even truff. Even truff. No mistake is tolerated. Why is no mistake tolerated? Even if it doesn't change the meaning of the word, it doesn't affect the impression of Talmud Torah. You say S instead of Ace, that changes the Talmud Torah. No, the answer is that you thought was because of element of the Shmiyas Dvar Hashem. In terms of Talmud Torah, you're right. Not every mistake will impair that fulfillment. When it comes, though, to that element of the Shmiyas Dvar Hashem as it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we experience it at Kabbalah Satorah, so that requires that it has to be exact, it has to be precise. That's what the Gemara says, you have to have Gabayim who are present. That just like the Torah was given to us, not directly, Al Yidei Sirsur, is going to buy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to us, so you have to have a chain also in terms of the Kriya Satorah, the Baal Korei and Gabayim, and then to the Tzibur. Because this is simply not just, right, Talmud Torah, but rather it's the Shmiyas Dvar Hashem, as you find at Kabbalah Sator and Har Sinai. That's why Rabbi Rutenberg writes that you don't have to stand for Talmud Torah, but you have to stand for Kriya Satorah. Because Kriya Satorah is, again, that union with the Dvar Hashem, that's the Ashras Hashchina, that requires Amidah, as Bnei Yisrael stood at Har Sinai. These are the two elements that you have when it comes to Kriya Satorah. Yes, Talmud Torah, but even more than that, this is the element of the Hashras Hashchina of receiving Dvar Hashem. That element of receiving Dvar Hashem, that predated Kabbalah Sator. So Rav Soloveitchik raised the following question: what is the relationship between Kriyas HaTorah and the Kriyas HaHaftorah? Is it a separate theme, or is it part of the very fundamental Nechayiv of Kriyas HaTorah? As he pointed out, this Chiddush, that if the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is Shmiyas Dvar Hashem, and Shmiyas Dvar Hashem doesn't require a Kedusha Sefer Torah, Vaharaya, that before the Torah was given, Bnei Yisrael used to, right, be Oseik in reading the Parshios of the Torah, even though it wasn't endowed with a Kedusha Sefer Torah. So what do you see? That the Kiyum of Shmiyas Dvar Hashem doesn't require, as mentioned, a Kedusha Sefer Torah. What does it require? Any Kisri HaKodesh, the three Aliyos, Tanakh, Torah Neviim Ksuvim. He pointed out that is part of the takana of the Kriya Sahaftorah. That was the Kiddush. Not simply, as the Vudvam writes historically, that's true too, that there were times that they couldn't lay, and so therefore they institute the Haftorah. That very, very well have been. But the very reading of the Haftorah that we have every Shabbos is parallel al-Pidin to the Kriya Sahaftorah that Bnei Yisrael had before Har Sinai. Right? Shmiyas Dvar Hashem, reading that portion of Kisvei HaKodesh that was not endowed with the Kedusha Sefer Torah. Before Mamad Har Sinai, it didn't have Kedusha Sefer Torah. And what do we have that has the status of Kriya, of Kisvei HaKodesh, that doesn't have a Kedusha Sefer Torah? Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So that, he pointed out, is the Kiyum of the Kriya Sahav Torah. That this is that element of the Shmiyas Dvar Hashem, to emphasize that that element exists and the status of Nevi'im and Ksuvim as being for that particular purpose. Okay, this is a piece which is printed in the Shurim Zecher Abamori, written by Rav Soloveitchik, in the second volume, the second to last piece, entitled Takanas Moshe. Something, I was able to summarize briefly, but it's very kedai to see for yourselves. These weeks that we find, it's a special series of Haftorahs, right? The Abu Draham mentions that there is a certain uniqueness that you find to the Haftorahs beginning Shivasar B'Tammuz and extending for the remainder of the year. That normally speaking, as we mentioned, that the Haftorahs were not specifically mentioned in the Gemara or in Midrashim. The requirement was simply, as the Gemara says in Megillah, Bididamile, that you have to go ahead and pick something to lay in for the Haftorah that parallels to some extent the Kriyas HaHaftorah. And that's what the Kesef Mishnah points out, and that's what the Sefer Eshkol points out. The Kesef Mishnah is found, that there was no set text that was used in the time of the Gemara, and that's why you have so many different minhagim as to what's a lane for a Haftorah, because the only requirement the Gemara had was simply the Dedamile, pick something of Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and so on that relate to the Kriyas HaTorah. This, the Psikta points out, and Tulsa cites this in the Gilan Daf Lamed Aleph, was not true of the Haftorahs that you have between Shivasar B'Tammuz and Shabbat, the three Haftorahs of Quranius that mention the sar, the tragedy, the sorrow of the Khurban, and now what we find ourselves in, the Shiva Dinachemta, the seven Haftorahs that mentioned the Nechama of Tzion and Yerushalayim. So this is what the Psitta writes, that Mibreishis Va'ad Shivasar B'Tamuz Machtirin Le'inin HaParshios Doma L'Doma. Right, the purpose of the Haftorah is to pick that portion of Nach that reflects the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah. But Misham Ve'elech, for then on, for the rest of the year, HaKol L'fi HaZman L'fi HaMa'orah, that reflects the time that we find ourselves in, not the theme of the Parsha. And this is the Tvos of the Parnusa and the Shiva D'Nechemta. This is the Chiddush that you have that the Vudra mentions. And it's interesting that even though there was no set text for Haftorah generally, there were generally set Haftorahs that you do find that were laying during these weeks. That is something that you find mentioned in Midrashim, that even though that is not true, generally when it comes to other Haftorahs. And in fact, there is a Chumrah that these Haftorahs of the year have Lahalacha, that the others don't. The Ram continues and says the following, V'da shiyesh me'elo haftoros, shemischalfos lefa'amim b'haftoros acheros. Sometimes, you know, if you have a special Shabbos, you don't lay in the regular Haftorah that you otherwise would. For example, if Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh, or if Shabbos falls out on Sunday, so you don't read the regular Haftorah, which is B'didamidei, but you read the special Haftorah of Shemayim Kisi, or you read Machar Chodesh. However, what about when it comes to the Shabbosim that you have here of this Kriyas HaTorah? The Shlosha, the Parnusa, the Shiva, the Nechemta. No, this was a separate Takana, and therefore this is what the Budram writes, that this takes precedence over Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. Right, this mamash happens. Halacha l'maisa. What happens if Rosh Chodesh Elul, right, will fall out on Shabbos? What do you lane? Do you lay in the proper Haftorah that you have of Aniyas Torah, or do you read the Haftorah HaShemayim Kisi? Do you read the Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh? This is a machlokes you find in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Kafei between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber writes as the Budram does. This is one view that you find in the Mordechai in the fourth paragraph of Megillah, that since these are a special class of Haftoros which are vital, which are necessary, so therefore even if Rosh Chodesh Elul will fall on Shabbos, you don't lame the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, but rather you lame the proper Haftorah that you have of the Shiva Dinachemta. That's what the Mechaber writes. Interestingly, the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah writes in Siman Tav Kafei that that's not true. That even on the Rosh Chodesh that occurs of Elul during the Shiva Dinachemta, you still read HaShemayim Kisi, the special Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. Smetaz has a very interesting comment. And that is because if you look at that Haftorah of HaShemayim Kisi, the Taz writes, it has both elements. It talks about Rosh Chodesh, but it also mentions at length the Nechama of Yerushalayim. So therefore the Taz writes, the reason that on Rosh Chodesh Elul we go ahead and we read the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is not because that we push aside the obligation of the Shiva D'Nechemta and in its place we read the special Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. But the Taz points out in Tav Kafei that that Haftorah contains the same theme of the Nechama. It's Yerushalayim. It's explicit in the Haftorah. And therefore you can, so to speak, achieve both goals by reading that Haftorah. There is a very interesting comment that the Magen Avraham has there also in Tav Kafei, where the Magen Avraham writes, those communities that have the minhag of following the Ramah, that when Rosh Chodesh Elul falls out on Shabbos, they don't read in the third of the Shiva D'Nechemta on Yasuara, but rather they read HaShemayim Kisi. The Magen Avraham points out the minhag then is on the fifth Shabbos, when they read the Haftorah of Rani Akara, then they read both Haftorahs, that followed by the other Haftorah, because I mentioned in Yeshaya, back to back. So therefore the Magen Avraham points out that if you didn't lay on the third Shabbos, the Shiva D'Nechemta, because you laid the HaShemayim Kisi of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you should make sure to read both Haftorahs on the fifth of the Shiva D'Nechemta, because it is crucial to read these Haftorahs that you find. There's a comment even... Is that? Right, that... Right. Right, so normally we do that as well, right, to maintain that Haftorah. There's even a Shuvah that Tzemach Tzedek has, that if for some reason a Kehillah missed reading one of the Haftorahs generally, they don't have to repeat it. But if they miss one of the Shlosh or the Parnusa, or Shuvah the Nechemta, see that Tzemach Tzedek writes in his Shuvah that the Tzibur, the next Shabbos should read both, because these are special Haftorahs that you find. That's questionable. I mean, the Magen Avraham normally... Right. Normally, then you wouldn't. Then you don't. But the Magen Avraham writes... But the Magen Avraham writes, you have the advantage of, when it comes to the two of the Shivud and Achemta, they're back-to-back. There's a Hemshech. And therefore, you have that advantage that they're found in Lev Yeshaya back-to-back. You can read one and go right into the other. So that's what he thinks to accommodate both of these. But it's an interesting, it's 2 days in the Mordechai that you find in the fourth parak of Megillah. There is a very interesting medrash that, again, that Avud Raham quotes, the order of the Shivud and Achemta. He writes, the order of the Haftorahs reflects the dialogue between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, it starts as the following, that we read of the Shlosha de Peronios, we read of all the terrible, tragic events that happened in the time of the Churban. And therefore, immediately after Tisha B'Av, so therefore, the Tiknu Lomar B'Tchila Haftorah Sanachamos. So therefore, we start with the Shabbosin that marked the period of Nachama. And how do we begin? That with the Haftorah of Nachamu Nachamu Ami. What does that mean? Klomar Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Omer L'Neviim Nachamu Nachamu Ami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Neviim, go and comfort B'nai Yisrael, that all is not lost. So the Medrash writes that Al Zem Yeshiva Knesset Yisrael. Regarding this, B'nai Yisrael responds and says that no, that Batomer Tzion Azavani Hashem, that's the second of the Haftorah. Basem Shvechani, what does that mean? That this Haftorah that we read this Shabbos, that B'nai Yisrael is not happy with that. Eini Mispayis Menachem Asanavim. That we are not satisfied with the message of Nachamu Nachamu Ami, that the Navi tells us that don't worry, all is not lost. We are concerned that Batomer Tzion Azavani Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has forsaken us, and therefore any response has to be Ayyadei HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So therefore, what is the third Haftorah? That is the Nevi'im going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and reporting the message of B'nai Yisrael. An Yasor Lo Ruchama. What does that mean? Klomer HaNevi'im Chozrim Va'omrim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hinei Knesset Yisrael Lo Nispaisen B'nichumim Shalonu. It's not enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nevi'im say that B'nai Yisrael is not willing to listen to us. They're not willing to accept second-hand Nechama through an Avi. They want to hear the Nechama directly for you. And then what is the fourth Haftorah that you have of the Shiva Nechemta? The Omer, that's the Haftorah of Anochi, Anochi, Umanachem Chem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself comes and says, okay, I will be the one to go ahead and give them Nechama. And that also is the next Haftorah that you have. That Rani Akara Lo Yalaza HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells B'nai Yisrael that don't worry, that I will be the one who will go ahead and give you Nechama. The sixth Haftorah is Kumi Yuri Kivarech. Chvod Hashem Alayiv Zarach means the Chvod Hashem himself will be the one who will go ahead and give Nechama. So after having that series of the Chazakah, the three Haftorahs, where now HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gives the Nechama, so then Al Zem Yeshiva Knesset Yisrael, so that's the last Yeshiva of Nechemta. That you find Sosa Sispa Hashem, that Klomar, that Ata Yeshli Vasos Velismoach, Tag Yal Nafshi Belokai. Now we can really have the proper Simcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if we have Nechama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, so that's what the Medrash writes, that will be sufficient to deal with all the trials of the Churban. So that's what the Medrash writes, interestingly, is the progression of all the Shivud and Nechemta you have. It began with an attempt of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to secure Nechama through an Avi. B'nai Yisrael's rejection of that, wanting the real Nechama with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Vatomer Tzion HaZavani Hashem. That's the whole theme of the Shachar you have for this Shabbos. That B'nai Yisrael points out the feeling of being lost by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu attempts to recapture that relationship that you find, pointing out that the only reason that there is Hester Panim is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any way has abandoned Knesset Yisrael, but rather simply in order to give B'nai Yisrael the opportunity of doing tshuva. And therefore, ultimately, when B'nai Yisrael realizes this, in the very end, that's the sosasis, the realization that even in a time of Churban, the relationship of Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fully intact, and that is achieved in the final Haftorah that you have of the Shivud Nechemta. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll deal with the Haftorahs in detail in the text. If you can, next week bring a Mikros Gedolos with you. If not, so you can use one of the Chumashim we have, but we'll go through the Pesukim of the Haftorahs themselves inside.